Today on Real Radio.
Unbeknownst to many of us, we're busy about either maintaining our job or finding a job, mowing the lawn, feeding our kids, going to school, that we can get so caught up into what's going on in life that we forget the fact that there's a clock ticking. And Jesus said, the Bible says, the prophets have said, that there's a heaven and that there's a hell.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. We're looking at chapter 18 in a passage that tells of one of the Messiah's parables, the one wherein two individuals with entirely different attitudes entered the temple. It's a study that helps us to put divine justification into proper perspective. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation simply called Between Heaven and Hell.
Luke 18, and this is amazing stuff. And so because of it, we're going to approach this portion of the scripture a little bit different. There's only a few verses, but brother, sister, it is powerful, powerful stuff. And it applies to each and every one of us. This morning's message, as you turn to Luke 18, verses 9 to 14, this morning's message is entitled Between Heaven and Hell. Between Heaven and Hell. And you say, wow, what kind of a title is that? Well, the truth of the matter is, my friend, right now, that's where you and I live. You and I are living right now in this world, in this time zone, between heaven and hell. No matter how beautiful your life might be today, by the way, if your life is that beautiful, we're going to go home with you today. But you might be thinking, no, Pastor, my life, it's just heaven on earth my life is. Well, that's awesome. But you know what? You're not in heaven yet. Or you might be saying today, you know what? My life is a living hell. Guess what? You're not in hell yet either. Any one of us have arrived at that terminal destination. That point, that final destination. Every human being will either inherit heaven or hell. And right now in this life, you and I are living in between those places. And that's a sobering thought to think. Where in the world are you and I going? That direction will determine where we spend eternity. A lot of people don't want to talk about that today. And I don't know what comes to mind when you think about heaven. When I think about heaven, I have these kinds of concepts. I'm probably dead wrong. In fact, I know I am because Paul the Apostle said it's beyond description. But I think of a Thomas Kincaid painting. You ever see those Thomas Kincaid paintings? Those are so cool. I think of that. I think of like Yosemite on steroids. Or maybe it's the Hawaiian Islands or maybe Tahiti or something. Yeah, heaven. No, but nice try. Or when you think about hell, what would hell look like or what would hell be like? And in my mind, I think of images portrayed by artists regarding Dante's Inferno, the book, where you see these horrific demons pulling people down into this pit of destruction and of flames and of torment. And you go, man, that's heavy stuff. It is heavy stuff. And it's supposed to be heavy stuff. Jesus is going to be teaching us something this morning by virtue, again, of a parable. And you all know what a parable is all about now, right? It is to deliver a truth into the minds, into the hearts of the listeners in very graphic terms and common terms, terms that they all could relate to. We would say today, there was a certain man who went to Costco. That's what we would say today if we were using a modern day parable. There was a certain, you know, whatever. And you use a modern day parallel. Jesus speaks a parable. Follow along with me. Luke 18, verse 9. Also he, Jesus, spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Verse 10, two men went up to the temple to pray. one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and thus prayed with himself, quote, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Strong words. Point number one in our message this morning is this. Between heaven and hell, number one, is the moment we're in right now. Oh, Christian, non-Christian alike, listen up carefully. Between heaven and hell is the moment that you and I are living in right now in this life. Unbeknownst to many of us, we're busy about either maintaining our job or finding a job, mowing the lawn, feeding our kids, going to school, that we can get so caught up into what's going on in life that we forget the fact that there's a clock ticking. Right now, as I deliver this message, I'm racing against the clock. There's another service and then another service. I've got to beat the clock. Everything that we do in our lives is almost down to the second, isn't it? It's choreographed. And we can get so caught up into what's going on in this life that we forget that there is an end. And Jesus said, the Bible says, the prophets have said that there's a heaven and that there's a hell. And you and I, no matter what attitude we might be in right now, no matter what's going on in our lives, if you want to be here or not, the truth is you are living in that moment. You are en route to eternity. And the first thing I want you to see this morning is this, that between heaven and hell, at this moment, we have an opinion of God. Every one of us has an opinion of God. Note it. It says, and he, Jesus, also spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and they despised others. They looked down their nose at other people. Verse 10, note it. There's two men. There's two men. There's a temple. And they go to pray. Notice this, that these two men, by virtue of their actions, have an opinion about God. And so do you. So do I. And did you know this morning that your opinion of God matters everything? Your opinion of God. What is your, don't answer because I'm teaching right now, but what is your opinion of God? What is that opinion? And you could sample people. You could take a little interview with a microphone and a camera and ask people, what is your opinion of God? And you can get 1,000 different opinions of what God or what gods there are in the world, even among Christians. It's true, those Christians who read more of their Bible have a better understanding of who God is. But what is your opinion of God? These two men have an opinion of God. Now understand this, that the context is Jewish. There's no doubt about it. Jesus is talking about a Pharisee. He's a teacher. He's an instructor of the Jewish scriptures, the Old Testament, to the Jewish people. It's in Israel. It's at the temple. The context is Jewish. The tax collector himself would have been a Jew who is now working for the Roman Empire. It would be like you, a Christian, working for the IRS. I'm kidding. But just think of it that way. Two individual people. And listen, the thought of approaching God, the Almighty Creator God of the universe, is an amazing thing. These were two Jewish men going to the place of national worship. They believed, as Jews today who do believe in God, not all Jews do. It's interesting. Many of them are in a state of unbelief. But the scriptures and the Jews believe that there at the Temple Mount and there in Jerusalem atop Mount Zion is the focal point of God's creative moment in all of eternity, that when God entered this material world and he spoke the world into existence, listen to this, it's rather romantic, that when God spoke the physical universe into existence, that beneath his feet on Mount Moriah, Mount Zion, the world was created beneath him. He stood, as it were, at the top of the world. And the top of the world in Jewish thinking is the Temple Mount in Jerusalem today. It's an amazing thing. It's a beautiful thought. And from there, the universe went out. God did this according to the scriptures. God did this according to Jewish tradition. And when you approach God, what is your opinion of God? The psalmist writes in Psalm 24, verses 1 to 3, the earth is the Lord's and all of its fullness. You thought you owned something. You don't own anything. Everything belongs to God, the world and those who dwell therein. Verse 2, for he has founded it upon the seas. By the way, this is just a little side note. Psalm 24, verse 2. You ever heard of the Grand Cayman Islands, anybody? If you look at the flag, by the way, thanks to you, we broadcast the gospel every day over those Grand Cayman Islands and the that area of the Caribbean. And on the national flag of the Cayman Islands, there is on the national insignia, it says, he hath founded it upon the seas, quoting Psalm 24, verse 2. And I have been to the Cayman Islands, and I remember getting a rental car there, and I said, boy, I'm really impressed by what it says on your flag. What's that all about? And the guy said, we're a Bible island man. I said, what? He said, we're a Bible island man. I think that means we're a Bible island man. What a great thing. It's the Lord's. That verse goes on to say, and he's established it upon the seas. Who may ascend under the hill of the Lord, says the scripture? Or who may descend in his holy place? Who may approach God? It's to be a reverential concept, a reverential fear, if I can put it that way. Our opinion of God, is it like this? Exodus chapter 19, this is awesome. Exodus 19, verse 17, and Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God. Can you imagine? Where are we going, Moses? We're going to meet God. Come on, field trip. Let's go. Is that not cool? They go out to meet God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely enveloped in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. That means Moses heard God speak. That ought to flip you out right there. Then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. Can you imagine? When you approach God, I know we have the tendency in the West and in California and in Southern California and at Calvary Chapel, we just come tripping on into church. Hey, dude, what's up, man? And we just come strolling on in, and that's kind of cool. That's fine. I mean, that's great. But do you know that we're coming to visit with our God? What's your opinion of God? You say, Jack, what's the big deal? Because it matters how we view others and how we even view ourselves. Is God awesome? Is God incredible in your life? Are you enraptured with the concept of who he is? Secondly, look at this. We have an opinion of ourselves based upon our view of God. How you view God, church, listen, how you view God is how you're going to view others. This is very key to the parable because Jesus is speaking about these two men who are seeking justification before God. That's the vital point to the message. But God must be preeminent first. Why? Because how we look at others matters. Look at verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. This is amazing. You need to mark this in your Bible. The word literally means in Greek that he prayed to himself, or the word means toward himself or alone. The Pharisee came to the temple and prayed alone. No one's listening. He prayed to himself. He prayed with himself. Mark it. This is a very, very serious thing. This man's praying, and he, being a Pharisee, can wax eloquent with his prayers. The Jewish people looked at him and said, wow, a Pharisee. But wait a minute. This man is absolutely, completely blinded to the fact that there are others that God might care about. I know that there's nobody in this church like that at all. We live for others. We're Christians. We love other people. Here's the truth of the matter. As we love other people, God will take care of us. But if we get caught up in our own selves, the first thing that falls off the radar or other people and their concerns. It's a dead end, my friend, to live for yourself. Because you know what God will do? This is what I found out in my own life. God will let me live for myself. And you know what? It's a pretty dry and lonely place. And when you pray, it's all about you. Bless me, Lord. Bless me this. Bless me that. Bless me. Bless. All about me. Me. And that's the prayer of the Pharisee, blind to others. But we have two men with two opinions of God as we go through this message. And your opinion, as their opinion, matters. And by the way, the word stood, mark that. The word is powerful. The word stood here means that he stood straight up. The word we get out of it in English, he stood erect. He stood like there's a steel pole in his back. He stands straight up because this man's proud, he's confident, and he's speaking great prayer, but no one's listening. This guy did not have a self-esteem problem, I'll tell you that. In fact, I tell you what, I'm impressed by how impressed this man is impressed with himself. That's why, listen, it is the nature of religiosity, of legalism, to be impressed with self-performance. My dear friends, listen, how in the world will you leave this place and arrive into heaven if you and I think, now don't get me wrong, if you and I think that we can get there by being good or by being a Pharisee? Didn't Jesus say that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall by no means enter the kingdom of heaven? What do you feel like when you hear that? You say, oh my goodness, I don't fast twice a week. I don't tithe of all that I have. I'll never make it. Listen, stop thinking that way, because it's not by rabbinical or pharisaical righteousness that you get to heaven. Your righteousness and mine must exceed the righteousness of this tremendously good, super clean, amazing, outwardly appearing religious man. If this guy were to walk into this sanctuary this morning, you would probably back up because of intimidation. Imagine, I'm not picking on the Pope, but he's, you know all the stuff he wears? What if the Pope walked in here today? What would you do? Oh! Pope! Well, wait a minute. The Pope's got to get to heaven the same way that you and I go. But see, all of the ostentatiousness of it all would cause you to go, wow. Listen, God doesn't go, wow. You can't wow God. He's not wowable. But we are. And look what he says. In fact, mark this down. God, I, mark it, circle it. I, number one, thank you that I, number two, am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I, number three, fast twice a week. I give tithes, four, of all that, what? I possess. How many I's did you count there? Five I's. Is that some of you already thinking? Jesus said in Matthew 7:1, judge not that you be not judged. Never in our lives as Christians are we to look at other people and say, and this is how we drape it. Okay, you guys with me? We go like this. Wow, that, look at her. She's a hooker. She's a prostitute. Or he's a drug addict. Or he's a this or he's a that. Wow. Poor guy. I'll have to pray for him. Lord, I'm glad I'm not like that. Stop right there. You could honestly be saying that you're glad you're not like that. But why? Now listen, this is going to cut to some hearts right now. This is a very supernatural moment. You might say, Jack, don't you dare offend me. I am not a drug addict, or I am not an extortionist, or on the list that Jesus lays out here. I'm not any of those things. I understand that. On this side, I understand that. I'm not any of those things either, on this side. But what's in my heart? Is there the temptation, is there the battle to think a thought toward a woman that's lustful? Or for you to think it toward a man in a lustful way? Didn't Jesus say, if you look at another person with lust, you've committed adultery? You say, man, well, yikes, I forgot about that part of the Bible. Well, what about this? Have you fudged on your income tax in your favor? Well, the government doesn't deserve my money. Yeah, I agree with you. Amen, brother. But God's going to deal with them later. I'm not judge. You're not judge. God's the judge. And he's going to deal with it later. Listen, didn't Jesus say, render to Caesar the things that Caesar's? Why? Because the Lord's going to take care of Caesar. That day's coming. You see, all of a sudden, sin looks really bad on somebody else. We may not be doing it, but we can be thinking it. And Jesus says, I see that. And now all of a sudden, instead of I'm not like this and I'm not like that, that's the heart of a Pharisee. We need to be very, very careful. Religious pride is the most dangerous form of pride that the Bible addresses in all of Scripture, because religious pride hints about a man being godlike. Don't you think there was a little bit of pride in the Garden of Eden when Satan told Eve, God knows that the day you eat of this fruit, you'll be like God. What did she do? Give me that thing.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called Between Heaven and Hell. It's a look at a section in Luke's New Testament narrative, chapter 18, part of our teacher's verse-by-verse journey through this eyewitness New Testament narrative, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we also want to let you in on what Pastor Jack and the church family are studying currently, 1 Corinthians. Now, to say that a study in 1 Corinthians is relevant is an understatement, especially if you know the issues that Paul had to deal with there. In fact, Pastor Jack would like to tell us more about this series that's now available on DVD. Pastor Jack?
Well, thanks, Mike. And what we're talking about here at church currently is 1 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we've just come through this study. And in fact, the three-part series is entitled Saints, Sex, and Sinners. And by now, I've got everyone's attention when I put those words together. Saints, that's the believers, and the Bible talks about those who are at Corinth were believers. And then sex, Paul addresses in chapter 5 what was going on. There was sexual immorality among the believers. And then sinners, this is quite interesting. The sinners, the non-believers in the community of Corinth, began to rebuke the church for its ungodly conduct. That's a pretty sad day when the world has to correct the church. Well, we took this three-part series and looked closely into some of the ailments of the church and the current church today, and that is that in many churches and in ministries, there is sexual immorality. How to deal with it? What does the Bible say about it? How does the leadership exercise church discipline among its members that are practicing willfully sexual immorality? The Bible is very specific about this. And so this is a hard-hitting, direct, and yet I would say loving presentation, series of teachings that bring to light a topic, frankly, that people would either not want to bring up or not want to deal with. But we take it on, and it has generated a tremendous conversation here at church. Many copies of this little mini-series has gone out, and we thought that it would be great if the family at Real Radio would also be able to benefit from it. So it's been powerful, and I encourage you, as part of our radio church together, that you might get your own copy and study this for your own learning, admonition in the Word of God. So you can find out more information. In fact, Mike, you can let the people know how they can obtain their own copy.
Of course. For your gift of any amount to Real Radio, we'll send you the DVD series Saints, Sex, and Sinners. You can call, click, or write if you prefer. Pay us a visit at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and you'll know just what to do. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.